Welcome to the intersection of faith and culture. It's the Wallbuilder Show, taking on the hot topics of the day from a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective. And we do that at our Pro-Family Legislators Conference every year with a several hundred state reps and senators from across the nation, as well as some great speakers. But a lot of the stuff that we learn, it goes way beyond what a legislator might do in the legislative session. We, the people, need to know this stuff as well. And so we try to bring you as many of these programs throughout the year as we can. So we stack them up at the conference in November, and then we sprinkle them throughout the year, sharing them with you, and that's what we're going to do today and tomorrow. This is a presentation from the Pro-Family Legislators Conference back in November. Justin Haskins, Don Kendall are going to share it today and tomorrow. So let's just jump in. This is a presentation at the Pro-Family Legislators Conference. By the way, I'm Rick Green, normally here with David and Tim Barton, but we're going to take you out to the conference today. So here we go.
So we are talking about AI. Where do we have the clip here? AI, ESG, and the fight for freedom in the next industrial revolution. So first off, Justin Haskins and I, we have been working on basically, we always kind of pride ourselves on looking for like the next big thing. You know, obviously there's a lot of important policy things that are going on, healthcare, education, you name it. But, you know, that ground is covered real well by a lot of great organizations that are out there. But we are always trying to find out what's the next thing. What's the next big important thing that we have to pay attention to so that we're not kind of left behind when the conversation goes in that direction. So it was mentioned that last time that we were up here last year, we were talking about ESG. And at that point, that was the big emerging thing. And we have been just blown away by the amount of work that has been done just on the state level across the country in terms of policy and pushing back against ESG in a number of states. It's really been just great to see. But I will say that there is so much more work to be done on that. And we've been at the Heartland Institute and the Socialism Research Center, we've been just doing as much as possible to get as much content out there to inform everyone that that the problem is still big and that we need to push back against it. So we have reports, we have tip sheets, we have FAQs, just everything that you would possibly need. Heartland.org/ESG, all of that information is there. And it's just very important that we continue the fight on that. So the thing that we're going to be talking about this time, because that, you know, I think we have succeeded on ESG and just kind of getting it out into the kind of cultural zeitgeist, at least on the right. Generally people understand what it is. They understand the threat of it. But now we're trying to push something else, and that is artificial intelligence. That is something that Justin and I have identified as being the next big thing. So in our work, we find ourselves reading a lot of content and watching a lot of stuff from the places like the World Economic Forum and Davos and these international organizations. They're all talking about these sorts of things. And what they talk about is the coming fourth industrial revolution. And the position of people like Klaus Schwab and many other influentials is that the fourth industrial revolution, when we're talking about artificial intelligence and automation and several other emerging technologies, is that these technologies, as they develop, are going to have a impactful and disruptive effect on our society and economy, comparable to the rollout of the internet. And we're here to say that they're not wrong. We think that they're absolutely right when it comes to that. And it's going to touch these developments are going to touch every aspect in our lives in an increasing ways over the next several years. But it's the solutions that these people propose that are at odds with us, with probably everyone in this room, and it really puts the threat squarely on the shoulders of just liberty throughout the country. So it's the position of these international organizations and big tech to control artificial intelligence and build it in their image and embedding their values into the foundations of these emerging technologies. And that is what we're going to try to talk about and kind of bring to all of our attention here and figure out exactly what we can do about it. Because the analogy that we came up with was the idea of the digital age and the rollout of the internet. And when the internet came out, massively disruptive, it changed everything. It was a decentralizing force in media, in consumer, just everything. And what we've seen through, you know, people on the left and other organizations is trying to control the internet, whether it's net neutrality or any number of regulations, everything that we've seen when it comes to social media over the past several years. It's they're trying to reel in that disruptive nature of that very innovative thing, the internet. And this time around, with the same sort of disruption that's ahead with artificial intelligence and automation and everything, it's their plan to embed those controls into the foundations of it before it becomes expansive. And that is the real genius of it. Can you imagine if they had that foresight when the internet was rolling out and the internet was built with the foundations and the values of the left and the controls and all of that? You wouldn't have the type of dissemination of information and the decentralized nature of the internet. So that's what we've identified as their strategy going forward with this fourth industrial revolution. And that's what we're here to talk about today. So I guess the first thing that we should really start off with is just kind of basic definitions. So we need to identify or outline exactly what is artificial intelligence.
Quick break, folks. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Wall Builder Show.
Hey, guys, it's Tim Barton, and I want to tell you about our new book, The American Story, Building the Republic. We start with George Washington as president, and we've already become a nation. So really now it's how do we function as a nation? And if we look back in American history, the stability, the prosperity, success we enjoyed as Americans is because of the foundation that our early presidents laid, because of the examples they set. How do we live in America under the Constitution? What is the role of federal government? And really, what part did each one of these early presidents play? We go through the first seven presidents, and a lot of people probably know the names Washington, Adams, Jefferson, and Madison. Very few people know about Monroe or John Quincy Adams or Andrew Jackson. Now, we might know some of their names. We really don't know their stories. We want you to relearn, rediscover American history and see how it applies to today. Go to wallbuilders.com and get your copy of The American Story, Building the Republic.
Welcome back to The Wall Builder Show. Going to jump right back into that presentation with Justin Haskins, Don Kendall from the Pro Family Legislators Conference. Talking about some of these things that need to be done and in the legislatures and some of the things we're trying to stop. Anyway, back into the presentation. Here we go.
Okay, so this is not going to get super in-depth on what artificial intelligence is, how it works, anything like that. If you're interested in learning more about that, the book that I wrote with Glenn, Dark Future, goes into detail on that technology, a whole bunch of other technologies. What I want to do is talk about, spend most of the time talking about how it's being designed and transformed and manipulated to control people, okay? Because I think that's the most important thing for all of us to keep in mind. A basic definition of artificial intelligence, though, is that it involves machines that are capable of thinking to various degrees like a human being. So it's trying to mimic, it's a machine trying to mimic the way a human being thinks, okay? This is how it works. IBM, the quote's up here, artificial intelligence leverages computers and machines to mimic problem-solving and decision-making capabilities of the human mind. So this is what artificial intelligence is trying to do. There are three kinds of artificial intelligence that exist, or that there are three kinds of artificial intelligence. One is artificial narrow intelligence. This is the AI that exists throughout the world today. Every time you open up your phone, you're using AI. Every time you go on Google and you do a search, you're using AI. Every single time you go onto Yelp, you're using AI. Netflix, if you watch Netflix or a streaming service and they recommend shows to you, that's AI. That's artificial narrow intelligence. The reason it's called narrow intelligence is because it's artificial intelligence that's really good at one thing or a range of small range of things. What makes artificial narrow intelligence different from general intelligence or super intelligence is that a human being can do one, can do a whole bunch of things, hundreds, even thousands of different tasks to a very high level. Not as good as AI can at one thing, but it can do, for example, if you use Google Maps, that's a kind of artificial intelligence. And what Google is doing there is it's finding the best route to get from one location to another location, right? It can do that better than a human can, much faster than a human can. But it can't recommend a good college for your kid, okay? But a human being can. A human being can give directions, give a recipe, recommend college, do all sorts of things. That's what we call general intelligence, right? So artificial general intelligence has not been developed yet. At least that's the general consensus. There are some people that believe that it may have been developed in secret, but they're or that they're almost there, but that has not been developed. So we don't have AI as smart as a human being on a wide range of topics. Superintelligence is the really scary stuff. That's when AI becomes smarter than human beings, not just in one thing, but in all things. And that ultimately is the goal for a lot of AI developers. Okay, so what we're going to be talking about today is narrow intelligence. That's the artificial intelligence that exists right now. General intelligence, super intelligence, lots of issues that we need to deal with for that. That's all in dark future, and maybe next year we'll be able to talk about those things.
Yeah, next year we might be talking about it, or some artificial intelligence will be talking about it on our behalf. But yeah, that's for the future. We'll worry about that. But so artificial narrow intelligence, this could also kind of, you can kind of use it synonymously with like advanced algorithms. As Justin mentioned, it's embedded in everything. But that alone, like that's what we're going to be talking about pretty much for the extent of this program here. That alone is going to have an extremely disruptive effect on our society and economy. And Justin, I think we have some people that agree with us here.
Right. So we'll just go over this real quick. As Donald mentioned earlier, AI is going to have an increasingly larger role in society. Virtually every expert in the world on AI agrees with that. Every expert believes massive amounts of disruption is going to occur. So these reports up here, these are just job disruptions. That has nothing to do with anything other than job disruptions. But I want you to think, when you're looking at these numbers, not just about job disruptions, but thinking about what those job disruptions mean for the way we live our lives, okay? And what we found is that a whole bunch of different organizations have estimates on job disruption, job loss. McKinsey Global Institute, for example, says 400 to 800 million jobs displaced by, mid-2030s or something like that? By 2030, that's their midpoint estimate. So that's not even their most radical estimate, okay? PwC, that's PricewaterhouseCoopers, they estimate that 1 in 3 jobs worldwide by the mid-2030s could be replaced by automation or AI. The World Economic Forum, my favorite people in the world, I love the World Economic Forum, they say by 2025, that's less than 2 years away now, they say 85 million jobs will be displaced just by 2025. Okay, so the impact on this is going to be massive, and it's not just going to be related to what you think of normally when you think of job losses and transformations of the economy with automation. So you think factory jobs, maybe self-driving cars, some people think of that. You think of those little kiosks, you know, when you go to a restaurant or something. It's not actually that. That's the primary issue. If you look at some of the, what you think of as white-collar jobs, high-skilled jobs, law, medicine, banking, Wall Street, HR. Most AI experts say those are the areas that are most likely to be replaced first, because artificial intelligence can't clean your house very easily. It's hard for it to do that. But it's not hard for it to replace HR. Most of what HR does is just paperwork, filling out forms, stuff like that. It can do that really, really well and very quickly. There was a study that was done where they took 20, this was from 2018, by the way. They did a study of the top 20 corporate lawyers, and they tested those corporate lawyers against this program called, what is it, Law Geeks. Okay, this is an AI program designed to analyze contracts. And they said, we want you to analyze this contract to determine if there are problems with it. And they deliberately put problems in it to see who could figure it out faster. And what they found was that the top 20 lawyers, and this was 5 years ago, basically, were absolutely destroyed by the AI program. It was much more effective and faster at finding the problems in these contracts. So it's not hard to imagine that if you're a corporate lawyer or even a doctor, you're a radiologist, you know, you read x-rays, you read MRI scans, AI can do that better than a radiologist can do that.
Hi friends, this is Tim Barton of Wall Builders. This is a time when most Americans don't know much about American history or even Hebrews of the faith. And I know oftentimes for parents, we're trying to find good content for our kids to read. And if you remember back to the Bible, to the book of Hebrews, it has the Faith Hall of Fame where they outlined the leaders of faith that had gone before them. Well, this is something that as Americans, we really want to go back and outline some of these heroes, not just of American history, but heroes of Christianity and our faith as well. I want to let you know about some biographical sketches we have available on our website. One is called The Courageous Leaders Collection. collection, and this collection includes people like Abigail Adams, Abraham Lincoln, Francis Scott Key, George Washington Carver, Susanna Wesley, even the Wright brothers. And there's a second collection called Heroes of History. In this collection, you'll read about people like Benjamin Franklin or Christopher Columbus, Daniel Boone, George Washington, Harriet Tubman. Friends, the list goes on and on. This is a great collection for your young person to have and read, and it's a providential view of American and Christian history. This is available at wallbuilders.com. That's www.wallbuilders.com.
All of these kinds of jobs are going to be displaced too. And again, it's not just about the jobs. It's about what those jobs indicate about society. How, if AI is taking over these whole industries, then what does that mean for us going forward?
Yeah, and Justin is, I think, intentionally leaving out one thing that would affect him, because he actually got into this career becoming an editor, right? Everything that would come down written, you would have to edit.
Yeah, I'm in trouble, for sure.
Nowadays, just with tech that's available to anybody here with a phone, you can pull up ChatGPT, put in some document, ask them to edit it for spelling and grammar, and they will spit it out in seconds and do a better job than Justin ever could. So that is...
I don't know about that. I wouldn't necessarily say that, but...
but we're talking about... We're talking about everything, and we're talking about everything from just like, you know, like some of this you might just look at as just being like an advanced calculator or something. You put in, you know, some absurd calculation, you hit enter, and it gives you a solution instantaneously. And that's very similar to what I was just referencing with putting in a press release and asking them to edit it, and you get it back instantaneously. But it's beyond that. We're talking about in the realm of artistry, too. So like these right here are examples of great art, right? We've got a great painting, a biblical painting over here. We've got a portrait of a model, you know, modeling. We've got some great picture here of just a bird out in the wild. But all of these were not real. They're not made by humans. They're all created by artificial intelligence with a simple two-sentence prompt that they're able to generate stuff like this. So, I mean, we're talking about every industry. You know, we can't, like, emphasize this enough. Every industry is going to be impacted by artificial intelligence.
Okay, so what the left, progressives, elites, the Biden administration, Davos, they talk about this all the time. A lot of people on the right never talk about this, but people on the left talk about it all the time, all the time. And what they and the reason they talk about it all the time, the reason they're so interested in it is because they know that if the future is being built on artificial intelligence and other emerging technologies, if you can control those technologies, you can control society. It's really, really smart. Most people won't even realize what's happening to them. They'll just wake up one day and all of a sudden their world is completely different and they don't know why. But it's all because society is being built with the next wave of artificial intelligence and the fourth industrial revolution, and this future society we have is being built with a foundation of woke AI. Okay? So what I want to do is prove that to you. This isn't just a theory. This is actually a well-concocted plan. Okay, it's a conspiracy, not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact. It's a real thing, and so we're gonna prove that. So first, go ahead.
Well, no.
I know you want to do this.
I'm just gonna say that you know, we want to lead with the kind of the intellectual, the furthest out, most intellectual person on the left, kind of explaining this for us. So again, that we're not, you know, painting with straw men. So we've got Kamala Harris.
She is my go-to.
Whoa. The reaction here, I don't appreciate it.
Very disrespectful.
She was made AI czar. This is not a joke. She was considered the most, you know, the person that's most appropriate to be in charge of AI. You know, so we've got a clip of her explaining it. So we're going to let her speak for herself here. Hopefully this clip works for us.
AI is kind of a fancy thing. It's two letters. It means artificial intelligence. But ultimately what it is it's about machine learning. And so the machine is taught. And part of the issue here is what information is going into the machine that will then determine, and we can predict then, if we think about what information is going in, what then will be produced in terms of decisions and opinions that may be made through that process.
Yeah. So again, with her just wonderful ability to explain stuff in simple ways, AI is two letters. I'm sure you caught that. I'm up to speed on that. A, artificial. I, intelligence. You know, we've all been to.
It is
all
watched Sesame. It is a fact.
We've all watched Sesame Street. But in kind of the rambling of our vice president there is kind of a message that is incredibly important and that could be easily glossed over by just kind of laughing at what she had to say. So, Justin, kind of break this down if we can.
Right.
If we can.
Okay, so it's really easy to pay attention to the stupid part of the quote. So what we're going to do is not pay attention to that. And let's look at what she's actually saying here, because what she's saying is actually really important. She says, after bumbling what AI is, and so the machine is taught, and part of the issue is what information is going into the machine that will then determine, and we can predict then, if we think about what information is going in, what then will be produced in terms of decisions and opinions that may be made through that process. So if we can control what information goes in to AI, we can control what information comes out of AI. That's what she's saying. In other words, let's rig the AI to give us the answers that we want. Okay, now this isn't just something that she's saying, right? This isn't just some quote off the cuff. There's actual teeth to this. This is the AI Bill of Rights. This was put together in October 2022 by the White House. Notice that they've now co-opted Bill of Rights, which they hate. And they've added AI in front of it, which makes it sound like they know what they're talking about when they don't.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Around 1790, the infamous Thomas Paine wrote his Age of Reason, attacking religion and Christianity. Interestingly, one of the strongest defenders against Paine's attack was Benjamin Franklin. In fact, he stiffly rebuked Paine and told him, "He that spits in the wind spits in his own face." Do you imagine any good would be done by this attack against religion? Think how great a portion of mankind consists of youth who have need of the motives of religion to restrain them from vice, to support their virtue. I would advise you not to attempt unchaining the tiger, but to burn this piece before it is seen by any other person. If men are so wicked with religion, what would they be if without it? Benjamin Franklin believed that the practice of religion was one of the greatest assets of American society.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
The White House released an AI Bill of Rights, which includes a section called Algorithmic Discrimination Protections, which reads, "Algorithmic discrimination occurs when automated systems contribute to unjustified different treatment or impacts disfavoring people based on their race and then a bunch of other factors." Okay, so it's not saying, is AI designed in a discriminatory way? What it's saying is the outcome, in our opinion, discriminatory? Now, that's very different. How can you design an AI system for banking, for example, that produces exactly equal results for every single demographic? You can't. It's impossible. But you can if you control what information goes into it first, then you can control what comes out of it. See? And that's the whole point. So, among other things, what does the White House want AI designers to do? Quote, "They want proactive equity assessments as part of the system design." So when you're designing AI, make sure that it's proactively increasing equity. Otherwise, you're not designing it well. Well, if you had a truly unbiased AI, you don't need equity assessments built into it. It's based on math. That's all it is. It's just based on math. But that's not what they want. What they want is to make sure they're getting the results that they want coming out of it. That's the plan. And we didn't have time to put this in here, but this week, the White House put out a new range of executive orders on artificial intelligence codifying some of these concepts. Some of these had already been codified in other executive orders, instructing more federal agencies to roll out even more of this kind of stuff going forward into the future. This is how they transform society.
Yeah, and we're in the kind of post-Great Reset age now, right? So it's not just the government that's doing stuff and the government that's issuing executive orders. It's all stakeholders now, right? We're all in the same camp. Everyone gets a say in this. So Wall Street firms are also weighing in on this to make sure that we're approaching AI in an equitable way that takes into account all the stakeholders. So explain this one to us.
Yeah, so this is amazing. So this comes from Institutional Shareholder Services, ISS. Some of you may be familiar with what this is. This is one of two massive advisory firms on Wall Street that's used for institutional investors, pensions, things like that, for proxy voting and proxy advisory. Glass Lewis is the other one. They're the same. They basically control the entire market, these two companies. They produced a report in 2023 about AI and discrimination. Now, in the report, now these are the people who are advising BlackRock and pensions and CalPERS and all these different people on how they should be voting when it comes to artificial intelligence companies, okay? And what they said is a primary way to improve AI model fairness is the specification of fairness-aware algorithms. This means that in addition to other objectives, such as predicting high job performance, user engagement, or other successful outcomes, the model also factors in fairness metrics, such as gender balance. These constraints encourage predictions that are equitable across certain protected attributes, thereby mitigating discrimination. Well, no, I would say that encourages discrimination. That actually is the definition of discrimination. We're going to rig the system to give us the result we want, and we're going to build it into the design. Again, powerful Wall Street firm, and I could show you other quotes that are just like this.
That's it for today, folks. We're going to pick up right there with that presentation at the Pro Family Legislators Conference. So don't miss tomorrow's show right here. Now, you can visit wallbuilders.com to dive a little bit further into these topics, get some of the materials, and then also the wallbuilders.show. So wallbuilders.show, that's where you can get the radio program in the archives. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to The Wall Builder Show.